Tomorrow, it's your chance to participate in the Nashville SC Pick to Click, brought to you by Camarena Tequila. If you guess correctly which player scores a goal in the game tomorrow, you win a prize pack and a four-pack of tickets to an upcoming Nashville SC home game. Participate tomorrow morning at 9:45. Welcome back in, Darren Donick and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick here with you as we continue the Titans conversation. As training camp is ongoing, we say hello to Gentry Estes of the Tennessean, who has been out there. Gentry, how you doing?
Hey, I'm good. Good to be with you guys.
Now, you know, a few weeks ago, we ran into each other at SEC Media Days, and I think we talked more hockey than we did football at that time. But things are ongoing at training camp, and it's all presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans, Frontier Basement Systems, the All Things Basement Seat Company, the Trenches Shop Gallery and Boutique, and the Cut Truck Mobile, Nashville's new barbershop on wheels. You have control of time and place. Book your appointment at thecuttruckmobile.org. So Shane Bowen talking today, and we were just discussing that, and he brought up role definition, which is something that Mike Vrabel still rolls his eyes and groans at whenever a title is brought up in a press setting. But the fact that the now defensive coordinator said that it has certainly helped things and now they know where the buck stops on defense, it's interesting that he brings that up when the head coach doesn't seem to like to talk about it.
Yeah, no doubt. That jumped out to me too during that. And I think, you know, I think it's an honest answer by Shane Bowen, and good for him for that. But I think in a lot of ways, just common sense, isn't it? I mean, even last year when you kept hearing, you know, Vrabel downplay this and say that, you know, he didn't realize the titles were such a big deal to so many people. Well, of course, it's a big deal to Shane Bowen. Of course it is. It'd be a big deal to anybody. I mean, and you have to believe that it does make his job easier. I mean, you can't expect someone to be your defensive coordinator if they aren't actually your defensive coordinator. That never made sense last year. It was always needlessly complicated on how they structured this. And, I mean, if you look at how that defense played a lot last season, we've heard all this about communication and, got, you know, one left hand not knowing what the right hand is doing. They looked uncoordinated, you know, because they didn't have a coordinator.
And then he was asked about Jim Schwartz being here in his advisory role as well. And, you know, Jim was obviously a big part of the success back in the day under Jeff Fisher when he was the defensive coordinator. He's been a head coach, been with the Eagles. He has a lot of knowledge that he can bring to a young defensive coordinator. But I think we all had that question of even when what we were talking about, even when Shane Bowen got the title, like, okay, is Jim Schwartz, you know, pulling the strings behind the scenes? What does that mean? Is he going to be on the practice field? But it seems like so far the relationship is good with Jim Schwartz. Did you buy that, or did you think that it was just, hey, that's what you got to say?
No, I did buy that. I think it's a fair question, and I think we'll, you know, it's certainly something to keep an eye on. We go into another season not quite knowing exactly how things are working on that side of the ball with the staff. So, I mean, I do think that's the case. But say this for Shane Bowen. We've heard from him a couple of times now since he got the coordinator title. He sounds different. He sounds
confident.
Yeah, he sounds like he's the coordinator now. And I don't think I could have explained that before, but you do see the difference now. And I've been impressed, honestly, with what I've heard from Shane Bowen here. I think his answers have been different. I think it's been more authoritative for what's going on out there. You know, I think there was an answer today about he's able to go from one room to the other and make sure, you know, basically all the different units are communicating in the same language, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, something that simple, I think it has helped him a lot to be able to feel as though he can do that. And I think that definitely comes across when he talks to us. So that does tell me, yeah, he's in charge. I think that's something that last year maybe he really wasn't, and he didn't really portray that the way he is now.
Something else that stood out to me and has stood out to me, not only in Shane Bowen's comments, but just in everything you've heard, Jack Rabbit Jenkins and the job that he's done not only on the field, but now you hear how he's working with the younger players, Caleb Farley, most notable and trying to bring them along? I mean, this is a guy that just got here himself, but he already seems to be emerging as one of the leaders on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I think some of that's just natural, given that you have a guy who's a very experienced NFL veteran who's seen a lot in a group where you have a lot of inexperienced DBs that are going to be relied on to play a lot of minutes. This is one of those, and not to say he's not helping, he is. But I think this is one of those storylines that you kind of could see coming, you know, going right into a situation. If it wasn't him, it'd be Malcolm Butler. You know, I think he, yeah, but I do, that doesn't mean it's not important for these guys, because it is. And I think it is good to have that kind of voice in the room. And I think it's more just the way he goes about his job. Very enthusiastic, you know, lots of energy. He's good about, you know, if things are going, things didn't go well, he kind of picks guys up. And I think, you know, when you get into Sundays, that's going to be important to have that in that unit.
We're talking to Gentry Estes from the Tennessean, covering Titans training camp. Another thing that we heard, I was curious to hear what he would say when asked about Caleb Farley, because I think we're all excited in comparison to some other draft picks, particularly first-round draft picks, how long it's taken for them to get on track. There seems to be some bad luck that's happened that to this point in training camp, we haven't even seen the person. Now he's in uniform, but they knew when they drafted him that it was going to be a process to see how healthy it was. He didn't play last year, and it sounded like Shane Bowen was sort of tempering expectations, even though for all of us, just to see him out there on the field puts him ahead of a lot of picks that we can think of off the top of our head.
Right, and I think in his case, as you brought up, he didn't play last season. So I think the fact that they're able to get him cleared like a week into camp, that's a win for the Titans. If this had gone on and we're still sitting here a week before the first game not knowing what his status is and you're still waiting on it, I mean, that really, that was on the table. That could have happened. But I think to get him cleared this soon does validate the way the Titans approached the draft. I felt like at the time I liked the pick of Caleb Farley in terms of the player, but I just felt like it was a big risk because you didn't know what to expect come August with the back issues, and that's a position where the Titans just simply don't have the luxury of waiting. They needed help, and they needed their first-rounder to come in right away. So I think getting him back out there is going to be a big deal. Having said that, I've liked what Christian Fulton has done so far this preseason. I think he's been pretty good on that side opposite the Jack Rabbit. So I think they've looked a little better on the back end, I think, this year than they probably did for most of last season. Now they need to get Bud Dupree out there. That's the next one.
We know it's only August the 3rd, but any cause for concern about Julio Jones leaving yesterday, not practicing today?
You know, I saw that happen yesterday, and it was a, you know, he didn't really limp off necessarily. He just tried to make a catch and got up a little slowly, and then, you know, there's a few conversations, and all of a sudden he goes back in. I don't know. You never say never with this kind of thing, but it didn't look like it was anything too serious to me. You may not see him for a few days, and I think, you know, look, they were gonna probably take it easy with him a little bit anyway this preseason. I mean, at this point, they were running team drills today, and you know, Derrick Henry's not wearing shoulder pads or a helmet and just kind of jogging on the side. I mean, I think that same approach was probably going to be in order for Julio. Although I'll say AJ Brown's done a lot. He's been out there a lot.
This is under the category of how much we overanalyze everything during training camp. But with the story out of Indy with Carson Wentz and the particular timetable, and I shouldn't say particular because it's a wide range, but just putting on, you know, not out for the season, but not out just a couple of weeks, if the Titans were put in that same position, would they feel confident moving forward with Logan Woodside and or Deshaun Kizer? Or do you think they would look for an outside source to come in to the rescue, so to speak, to fill the gap? That's something that I think every team probably has to ask themselves that question as they watch and see what the Colts do.
That to me is a fantastic question, and it's one that, to be honest, you don't really hear enough. I think that has been now for two seasons a spot that that could be a problem for the Titans. I like Logan Woodside. He's been good out there in preseason, and the more I've watched him, the more I see what the Titans do see in him. But at the same time, you know, you hear for now a couple of years that the Titans are so confident in the guy. Well, they keep trying to replace him. They keep bringing in guys to compete with him, and not, you know, it's been very clear that there was competition at that spot. Now, I think Logan Woodside's pretty far ahead of DeShone Kizer from what I've seen. I think it'd be a pretty big upset at this point if it wasn't Logan Woodside. But you bring up a great question. If you're in a scenario where you know you don't have Ryan Tannehill, I don't know that you do feel like Logan Woodside can just step in. Maybe you would have to try to go get someone to step in. And look, I'll say, too, for that, he didn't have preseason games last year, and that's a big deal. That he's going to have a few this time. So I think that we're going to get a really good sense for both of those guys in the preseason games because you know Tannehill's not going to do hardly anything in them.
And the distinction we made, because this is the case possibly with Wentz, if it's a week or two, then I think, you know, that you would hope that Woodside could get you by for a game or two. But if it's going to be five games or eight games, that's the gray area because if Tannehill's out for the season, then almost no matter who it is, your season is in big, big trouble if you lose your starting quarterback the entire season. Kind of like the Dallas situation last year. They tried to plug it with Andy Dalton, but that's the tweener question that I think is pretty difficult, is if it's going to be an extended period but not the whole season.
And if you want to say the backup quarterback isn't that important, look at the Titans in 2019. It saved their season and changed the trajectory of the entire franchise that they brought in Ryan Tannehill as the backup quarterback at the time. It matters a lot. And it can matter at a moment's notice.
Gentry Estes is with us from the Tennessean. They signed Luke Stocker as another tight end, and I know he was quoted in saying today, if they line him up at fullback on a sneak, he will call timeout for a touchdown that would happen or on the goal line what happened a few years ago. But the tight end competition, we know Firkser is tight end one, but what have you made of that competition behind him now bringing in Stocker?
Yeah, I'll be honest. I came into this preseason kind of looking at tight end as a question that really, you know, hadn't been answered as a box they hadn't checked. In terms of the personnel they've added, and I just had some questions whether or not Anthony Firkser could step in and be that guy, be what Johnny Smith was for him. And yeah, I've been impressed with Anthony Firkser. That's been one of the things I've changed my mind about here in the first week of preseason. I think he's looked good. Vrabel made the point of saying he just looked different in terms of his offseason preparation. I would agree with that. They've had a lot of these 7-on-7 type drills where, you know, Firkser's lined up out wide as a receiver and you know, held his own. There's a good rapport with him and Ryan Tannehill. So I think I do feel a little bit better about that spot than I would have before the start of camp. Now, behind him, you've got a lot of similar type players, I guess you would say. And I think Luke Stocker, I talked to him a little bit today, and he moved to Nashville about 3 years ago. So that was kind of an easy add for them a little bit to say, hey, come on over and see what happens. But they're clearly looking for some depth there. And this is a team that's when they've had tight ends on the roster here the last couple of years, they've used them. You know, those guys don't go to waste when they add them.
So what position concerns you the most still?
Edge rusher, no question.
Really?
That does not look very much different. That doesn't look that much different to me than it did last season, not yet. Again, you know, you'd like to see Bud Dupree out there. I think that's a pretty important addition that we're not seeing. But for right now, it seems to be – I'm not talking about work rate and success because really they just put pads on, so you haven't really been able to see it. It's just same guys. You can look at the secondary and see why there would be room for improvement. I'll be honest, I look at edge rusher and I don't see that, at least not without Bud Dupree out there.
Interesting. Going to be something to watch for sure. Gentry, appreciate the time as always. Good to talk to you, and we'll do it again soon.
You bet. Take care, guys.
Gentry Estes of the Tennessean. Joining us, and we have a few minutes before we take the break for the hour. But
so let's start where he ended up there.
Yeah, I think that's interesting
because he's on the COVID list right now, right?
Yeah, but he's also still rehabbing. You know, he's still he's on the pup.
So I guess that's what I'm asking is, what's the prognosis with all this? Are they expecting him to be ready to go at the beginning? Is that question unanswerable at this point?
I think they're hopeful is what it's been. But, I mean, he's on PUP right now. So,
but you'd certainly like to get him in there and get him some reps, some action, you know, just feeling good about the knee. We always hear about ACLs. When you tear your ACL, a lot of people think it's the second year back that ends up being better than the first. Although with each passing year, we know that the surgery is so high-tech and refined that the hope and the expectation, it's possible you can be back and playing where you didn't even notice.
Yeah.
But there's mental things that happen. There's always a process
that
you have to go through. It's a new team on top of that. So what's the realistic expectation for Bud Dupree? I think it's a fair question, especially at the beginning of the season.
Right, and I think it's interesting that he said that pass rush was still a concern, which it's always going to be a concern until they show you that it's not.
But, of course.
But we just got done talking about some of the depth pieces that they have there. You know, John Simon is one that they brought in. And I'm not expecting John Simon to come in and have 12 sacks this year by any means, but I think he's a good depth guy to have and can make some plays. But if Bud Dupree is not available early on, or even if he is and he's just not warmed up there, he's not in that rhythm yet, that's going to be a concern. Because does that mean once again we're going to be talking about,
I think that's a good question,
pass rush and the deficiencies?
Yes.
There,
well, I think to Gentry's point, there's a lot there. There's like an assumption that, okay, they spent a lot of money to fix a problem, but it's really on, Autry is part of it. The development of Jeffrey Simmons is part of it. Now, he'll be 2 years removed from the ACL, so let's see how that works. If my theory is true, it's not my theory, it's a theory that's been thrown out there for years about the ACLs. The second year is where you really feel it, and you break through and you're not thinking about it at all. But there's a lot dependent on Bud Dupree. It's like there's an assumption, oh yeah, they fixed it. They'll fix it. It'll be Bud Dupree. It'll just be better. And that's a lot of weight on a guy's shoulders that has gone through a very major injury. So he's going to be expected to come in there and right away be a force. And because I think as we look at it, the way the roles are put out there, he needs to be the anchor.
Yeah. I mean, that's why you brought him in.
Yes. But that, are we asking too much? I'm just thinking out loud here. We might be.
But to something else you just said, if Jeffrey Simmons in year three, that's the year, and we've seen him get better every year. But if Jeffrey Simmons is just
becomes a monster,
and which I think he will be, I think he all pro, like he's on that that cusp, because you put Autry next to him. And some of the other depth pieces behind them, you add Dupree, you have Landry. It just feels like that front seven especially is more complete than it ever has been.
On paper. If that comes together, I think you like what you see.
But Simmons,
that's why Dupree is such a big part
right.
of that.
But Jeffrey Simmons has to be the Derrick Henry of the defense. Like, he has to be the catalyst that makes it all go. And I think that he can be, and I think that he will be. So that's what you're depending on, that it starts up front and then it moves back all the way to the secondary. And if that happens and you're seeing plays being made starting with up front with Simmons, then you're going to feel better about everything, because I think everything's going to be improved. But it's a big if. You got to see it. Like we've been saying, if this happens, if that happens, if this happens – and then it doesn't. We said that about Clowney. Like, if Clowney comes in and does...
That is what's interesting. I still would say, of all the issues they have, and this is one, when is Dupree going to be himself, ready to go, full bore, ready to help? We don't really know the answer. Same thing with Farley. It's great that he's on the field. There's still questions. But those questions are not at the level of the uncertainty of last year at this time. The year before. I just feel like if we go back and look year by year, the list of question marks is a smaller list going into the season. I think that's going to make a difference. I do.
I'll tell you one thing that was and is a question mark is kicker. Teron Davenport put on his Twitter, Tucker McCann versus Sam Thicken today. They kicked from 30, 33, 40, 44, 42, and 50, and both kickers were perfect today, which is the first time in camp that that's happened.
Okay.
So Sam Thicken was perfect. Tucker McCann was perfect. That's good news.
So Thicken was clicking.
Well done.
And he was kicking really well.
Thicken's kicking was
he was clicking. That was good. Well done, Willie. Well done. So do it again tomorrow. I want to see consistency there. But that certainly is that's the best day that the kickers have had. So that's good news. So appreciate Gentry Estes for joining us. Good conversation there. We'll keep the NFL and the Titans conversation going. Mike Girardi, who is from the NFL Network, he's been at Titans camp this week. He will join us next. We'll check in with Joe Rexroad at the bottom of the hour, who's in Knoxville, see what all we learned or he learned from Josh Heupel's first media day there at UT. I know all four quarterbacks were speaking today.
I was shocked. I couldn't believe that. Any of the quarterbacks.
It's crazy, Willie. Quarterbacks were speaking. Other players were speaking. Assistant coaches were speaking. I mean, Jeremy Pruitt's going to get wind of this.
Imagine being able to communicate.
You know what? A fight broke out at Giants practice. I wonder it's because somebody told Jeremy Pruitt that Josh Heupel was letting all these people speak, and he just went nuts. Maybe that was it. I don't know.
Pruitt's going to be so mad when he's done pulling bodies off of Daniel Jones.
Yeah, Daniel Jones was at the bottom of a pile.
Yeah, explain. I just read the tweet like you guys did. I haven't seen any video.
Yeah, I haven't either.
But apparently Mike Judge was so upset he was having the guys run.
Yeah, which is
old school,
like a high school practice.
Line up on the line.
Ugh,
it's like what were the?
I hated football practicing.
The suicide drills, is that what they were? Where you have to
in basketball, the suicide
on the baseline, yeah.
Foul line back, half court back, down, yeah. All the way down, all the way back.
Yeah. There was a practice, and it was after a game. It was the day after a game that didn't play well, missed free throws, just made a bunch of dumb plays and lost the game, and that's what the practice was the next day, was suicide drills and free throws.
I think we've all been to a practice or two like that.
In the Kentucky.
They're not fun.
Our coach ran the Kentucky drill, the old Kentucky layup drill, because they were missing layups too. So simple training camp type things.
Just dread those. The entire practice is punishment. Not good.
Yep. So when we come back, Mike Girardi of the NFL Network, he will join us. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.